When we turn tail and run because we don't trust, we are most vulnerable. Faith, it doesn't work in our strength. It's something that has to work because God is involved. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. The truth is supposed to impact our behavior, supposed to influence our behavior. It is supposed to make us more pliable in the hands of God so that He can give us the courage, the faith that we need to stand against things.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians chapter 6 on today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
God wants people to follow Him because they love Him, not because they love themselves and are afraid they're going to get killed if they stop following Him. That's not Christianity. It's something else. And if Christians, if the church, if God's church was the church, if they decided as a group, you know, we're going to be the church. We're not going to be all this other stuff out there, satellite stuff. We're going to be the church, as the scripture says. Man, we would be fierce. We would be awesome. People would not, I can't wait to get to church because the Spirit of God would be here. Acts 2:42 would be here. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Our teaching would be solid in fellowship. Because of the teaching, we would behave better and we wouldn't repel people. Folks would like to be around us. In communion, in prayer, we would talk to God in our own time and God would minister to us and He would be very real to us. We would be as awesome as an army with banners, and that banner over us would be agape, love, spiritual love. Goliath took man-made armor into battle with a spiritual man, and Goliath lost, and the spiritual man took his armor. Goliath had confidence in his size, he had confidence in his strength, in his armor. He had nothing for God. And he lost. Is this not man? So many men. This is not Esau and Ishmael. Are these characters not in the scripture that have great confidence in their own prowess, but none in God? And they die and that's it. They leave behind nothing worth following. We don't read of the God of Esau in scripture. We read of the God of Jacob because at least he was tuning in to God. And so the real enemy is the destruction of souls, the destruction of individuals who can be saved. And that's why we're in this fight. That's why we're supposed to armor up. Verse 12, he continues, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, what I don't have the time to do is read all the cross references that ring in on this, that insists we are really dealing with spiritual beings, the unseen. It may be invisible, but that does not make it non-existent. That is true of us as individuals on a smaller scale. Our thoughts are invisible, but they're there. Loneliness, it's invisible, but it's there. Fear is invisible, it's there. Courage is, we see the fruits of these things, but what's happening on the inside, you can't x-ray it. You can't take a guy down to the dock and say, "Hey, I get an x-ray of my courage." And he's, okay, step into the machine. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul writing again, a prison letter, speaking about his God. Not taken by, you know, the fact that he's in jail. He's not saying, "Well, why didn't you deliver me? Why didn't you save me from these bad Roman soldiers?" He's just moving on with the gospel, still saving souls. He's saving Roman soldiers while he's at it. Could you imagine when they change guards, he gets a new guy? And Paul says, "So what's your story? What do you believe in?" I'm sure many of them were hostile and hated his guts for it because they worshiped the Caesars and had their own thing going on. But many of them came to believe. We'll get that when we begin Philippians. But here in verse 13 in Colossians, he says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son." of his love, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's how we defeat Satan, as we get saved. That's how we take the power from this wicked army. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, Paul asked in a Roman letter. And the answer ends up being no one. That's how powerful our salvation is. So what are you going to do with your salvation? I'm going to hoard it. I'm going to judge others with it. I'm going to find excuses why those who are trying with everything they've got are wrong and I'm right. Oh, when I say it that way, hopefully we say to ourselves, well, I don't want to be that. What am I doing with my salvation? I want to answer that question. Many of you are indeed doing something with your salvation. You're loving those who are weak. You're reaching out. You're serving in your church. You worship your Lord. You're raising your kids to love Christ. You're at the workplace and you're praying that God gives you opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone. But then there are others that spend their time trying to sink the very ship they sail on. Verse 13, I don't need to stay on verse 12. It is self-explanatory. We wrestle, we contest against these monsters, these creatures from darkness. And they hate us, incidentally. In verse 13, he says, therefore, because of this, that means, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. So he gets back to this. He's insisting that we stand, that we don't drop, that we don't turn and run. Incidentally, there was no rear protection with this armor. So if you turned around to run, you were vulnerable. There was no breastplate to really protect you there. That's true of Christianity. When we turn tail and run because we don't trust, we are most vulnerable. Faith, it doesn't work in our strength. It's something that has to work because God is involved. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living. The truth is supposed to impact our behavior. It's supposed to influence our behavior. It is supposed to make us more pliable in the hands of God so that He can give us the courage, the faith that we need to stand against things that are in the way of peace and joy. You know, I find life to be the problem because it won't leave me alone. I cannot find a place of permanent peace. And when I do, subconsciously, if not consciously, I'm saying, how long is this going to last? And then I find myself having to deal with not allowing this to make me bitter, not allowing this to make me resent God. So what am I going to do with all these things I realize about life that aren't very pleasant? Well, I'm going to make them serve God. I'm going to use them. By understanding bitterness, I can minister to those who are bitter without myself becoming bitter, poisoned. There's nothing you can do with a bitter person when they're just locked into not becoming loving and warm and meek. You are pretty much stuck unless they're willing to change directions. And so verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, verse 14, stand therefore. You see the insistence that he places on this? This is the church, militant, defiant, not sinful, not ever sinful, but aggressively going at that which is wrong, because who else is doing it? Look around the world. Look at the religions of the world. Really look at them. I don't mean the pictures in National Geographic, because that just makes them look beautiful. The photography, wow, look at the color red on that guy's robe. Now, if you could scratch and sniff, you'd have a different opinion about many of these places. The squalor that surrounds them. We believe the false religions of the world come from the teachings of Satan. His goal is to block human beings from getting to the only true God. If there was some other way people could be saved, then God would be cruel for allowing his son to be crucified. Don't we understand this? There's nothing noble about honoring that which is alive from hell. Yes, we have to separate it. Try not to hurt the feelings of the other person. But at some point, words fail. Elisha, he mocked them, and they're going, maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe he's in the potty. That's what he was saying to them. I'm not making this up. And they're cutting themselves because that's what false religion does. It causes the host to harm themselves, ultimately. You know, everybody's important at death. If you die, you become very important. At least what's left becomes important to men, but what's not left suddenly becomes very important to God and you face to face. We are supposed to act like we believe this. We're playing a game. I got a letter the other day from some group talking, boasting about their ecumenicism. I am not ecumenical. I do not get along with those who claim Christ and reject what he has said. I'm not going to chummy up with you. No, you're not my enemy. I'm not going to try to run you off the road. I don't want to put any ideas in my own head. No, I mean, certainly that's not it. We just laugh because we know the flesh. We know what sin wants, and we know it's wrong. And that's where the humorous part comes in. Yeah, that ain't the right way, but I understand where this thought comes from. If do you see Paul doing any of this? Do you see Paul being very tolerant of Caesar worship? Well, the idolatry, that he's gentle when he can be gentle, but there are times he's fierce. He struck Elymas with blindness. I know why God has not given me that ability. Let's see, do I hit Walmart first or the bank? Does it work on cameras? But anyway, the whole armor, to stand, that is the goal. And for all this, I'm moving fast here. I'm not stopping at the verses, the cross references, because we wouldn't get out of here. But know this, Christian, that your scripture speaks in detail about these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's very aggressive, and it's very spiritual. And there's no harm to the physical harm to the other person. If anything, there's rescue. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." You can't manipulate the truth. Well, you can. Well, we'll get to that because the news media has mastered it. Governments have mastered it. Historians have mastered it. Human beings know how to suppress the truth and how to revise the truth, which you never really can. You can't do either. Those who are children of truth, there's nothing you can do. It is how it is, and it makes a demand on you. You cannot make demands on it. But we'll come to that in a moment. Verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, we'll stop there. This girding your waist with truth. This is the belt. The belt that holds it all together is the truth. Yes, but here's another significant part of this belt. It is where the scabbard or the holster is to the sword. Now, the sword will be the only overtly offensive weapon in this mix. It's the only weapon. Which weapon is offensive. Now, but you can use the shield as a weapon too, but it's not what's designed to do. But that's true, and as Christians now, the aggression of the church with her truths, the belt where we keep the sword on our hip, readily available, is got to be based on truth. Truth has no leaven in it. It's not the truth if it does. Half-truths are not truth. It's manipulation thereof. That's what Satan used to cause Adam and Eve to fall. Here's a picture of it in the Song of Solomon, this love song that Solomon has taken and to celebrate love in the godly kingdom. And the Jews embrace this as love to Israel. The church has identified that is the love song between Christ and his church. The church is made up of Jew and Gentile alike. There's no longer Jew or Gentile. They just become Christians. Paul will end this Ephesian letter encompassing all of them. He will say, "Shalom to the Jew, grace to the Gentile, agape to believers." But In Solomon, it is a picture of this love, and there's a snapshot in the third chapter, in the eighth verse, of the life during the time of this love song. But the Holy Spirit has underlined it to the reader who understands truth in the scripture, and it stands out and takes on a more vibrant, becomes more vibrant in our minds. Verse 8, he says, they hold swords, being expert in war. And every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear in the night. They're ready for anything. Their sword is right there. Sort of what Josephus, the historian, was writing about the Romans. It is what the Christian is supposed to be. The sword for us, of course, is the word of God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's what the scripture teaches. That's the idea we're supposed to grab. We're never supposed to be without this. Whatever environment we find ourselves in, we are supposed to be saying, I am a holder of truth. I've got something that I want to share. I have a shot that I want to fire if I can just be given permission. How does that permission show up? You're in the workplace and someone comes up to you and says, what do you think about all this that's going on in the world? Well, what do you think about, you know, Israel and the, you know, those Jews, they're always a problem. That's your opportunity. It's a problem to who? I had someone that told me once, you know, Jews, they go into every neighborhood and they ruin it. Well, how do they do that? They bomb it? They burn it down? Little, you know, oy vey, let's burn it down. No, they don't do this. They go into a neighborhood and they open up stores, and people like to shop at those stores because the deals are good. And they hate them for it. How does that happen? It's spiritual. It's the works of darkness. No other people suffer this. You get other people that come into the neighborhood that do burn their own stores down. And they don't get blamed like this. I just saw, you know, and this is, I don't know, one of the Muslim countries where they burn down their own KFC. Now, after they all settle down, they're going to get hungry. They're going to say, man, I sure missed those spicy wings were very nice. But they won't say, see, we ruin every neighborhood we go in. But the Jew somehow gets this because there's a real devil doing this. You see, so you're in the workplace. Wait a minute, let's think this out. Let's talk it out here. You're wrong. It's a lie, and you're buying into it because somebody said it. You just believe it, and you've not searched the matter out. The Jew is hated because of Satan, because of God's promises on Satan. And this is the truth that we are supposed to bring. It's supposed to be right there, ready to pull out. And he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the breastplate of righteousness is many Christians have no breastplate of righteousness. They're too busy doing things that aren't right for anyone to be attracted to the message that they're preaching. You can't go to the workplace and ogle the women or look to, you know, or the men, if whatever the case may be, and still expect you've got this testimony. You can't steal from the employer, whether it's time or material, and still expect that God's going to bring to you this opportunity to share the gospel. The devil will then bring you an opportunity to share the gospel. Because by doing this, by someone who's not standing up for righteousness, he mocks, he makes a mockery, he makes a caricature of the truth. That's what every cult is, incidentally, a caricature of the truth. It is not true. It's a distortion. And the distortion is to be rejected. And we're not perfect beings, and no one expects us to be perfect beings, but what they do expect us to do is to pursue perfection with everything we've got. And when we do that, the church is glorious, she's beautiful, she's attractive, like a bride. When she comes down the aisle, she's prepared herself, she's beautiful, she's attractive. She's made preparation for this moment. We're supposed to be this all the time. And when we fail, we get back up, because the goal, the idea is to stand, therefore, and having done all to stand, stand. And when we're not righteous, truth has been compromised. It says, for the wrath of God in Romans 1 is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is for anyone who thinks that truth is sort of like, you know, take it or leave it, an option in Christianity. It is not. It is Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot dispose of this. Without the truth, all the rest of the armor doesn't count. You've got a Goliath's armor. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't want what you have on your hip. Evolutionists don't want creation to be true, so they'll never look at it. It's not science at that point. It's all theory. And yet, they're very aggressive, very hostile. Oh, you believe creation? Oh, I don't have time for that. Why? Because you don't want it to be true. Because you do not want to be held accountable for your behavior. Instead of coming to the Savior and being saved, and repenting and becoming like a little child and being converted, you want to puff up, push against God. Years ago, I was working on a bridge. I wasn't a pastor at the time. And, you know, the pigeons do so much damage to steel structures. And trying to burn some steel out so we can put new steel in. But there's this one pigeon up in this corner, and he will not move. I mean, we're banging in, and so I take the torch. No, I don't cook them. But it's the air, the air and the torch. Now, no flame, not the acetylene. And I'm blowing this thing, hoping he's going to say, okay, I've had enough of this. And he just puffs up, a little smart. I had a little hard hat on, and I could have fried him. All I had to do was just turn that gas on and click, and he, poof. But I wouldn't do that. So he just stayed the whole time. Now, I was going to work that into what I was going to say. Some puffing up, okay, if you get it on the way home, call me. So I know what you meant to say now. It makes perfect sense. But right now, I'm thinking about, well, I got like 4 minutes left, and I've got to finish the rest of this. But anyway, the breastplate of righteousness. Be righteous. It is an expectation put on us. I'll take one verse for this, Psalm 106. Now, again, if you're one of those Christians, well, I can't tell if that verse is true and that verse is true. Everything. Well, did you hear that? That was the sound of God's word going in one of your ears and coming out the other. Because you've fallen for this chaotic thought that God's word is not trustworthy. What happens if you have someone who's not trustworthy around something that is valuable? We have things like, you know, the fox guarding the chickens or whatever. Like, we understand this principle. Until it comes to scripture, then all reason goes away. Magic now takes its place, and whatever whim we come up with, that's the way it should be. You know what some Christians need? They need a good friend to come and rebuke them to their face very gently, but very thoroughly. And just to say, you know, if you want the same results, if you want to continue falling down in the face of opposition, just keep doing the same things. And I guarantee you'll get it. You plant corn, you'll get corn. You plant wheat, you get wheat. And we need friends. All of us do. We need someone who can reach us when we need to be reached, when we're drifting. Now, many of us, we work hard at not drifting, and the Holy Spirit does that for us. He corrects us without having to bring a friend. David had that chance, but he did not take it. And so God sent Nathan and outed David in front of everyone. But here in Psalm 106, verse 3, he says, blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. God wants to bless the one that honors righteousness and runs from evil. Verse 15, he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation belongs to the gospel. And there are those who, they don't want to prepare. They think that when they get saved, they're pretty smart anyway. God's benefiting from them. They figured it all out. They've read it. They know what it means. They have reading comprehension skills. So therefore, who needs the Spirit? Who needs to prepare? It's them. It's me, God. And that's not what the Bible teaches. We need to be prepared. And preparation always takes hard work. I remember working again as a steel worker. There were times you had to prepare things. It took more than to build the thing. The time it took to make the false work and the preparations took more than an actual job. You learn about life that way. Christianity is often that way. You can spend hours studying a scripture section and share it in 5 minutes and the person's converted. Your feet, that's what you stand on. Without them, of course, you cannot stand. He's saying protect them. with the gospel of peace, the good news.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.